Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's your boy TP Thomas back at the helm. The grill is lit. Welcome to the cookout. You got the next 90 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but you're here with the chef. Got a lot to dish out. Feeling some type of way about yesterday, but that's all right. Something else had to help me hold up throughout the day. I done took off my blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside, the kitchen timeless is alive. Sports City.
What about I'd be caught in this life, let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up. Wait until the sun goes down, we gon' make this bitch light up. Even when the sun goes down, I'ma make it go.
Ow, hoes turning heads like owls. I'm the man of the owl. Triple entendre, don't even ask me how. Con Edison flowing connected to a high power. Y'all can miss me with the money talk. The smart money's on hold, fuck what the dummies talk. I don't do too much blogging. I just run the town, I don't do too much jogging. The summer's up.
Okay. The caller number is 917-889-9592. Get up in here, call in, press 1. Let me know that you're ready to rock and roll with these chefs. I got a plate full of stuff to get out to these people, food for thought. Y'all could do these dishes. Now, I'm going to do this as best as possible, try and get these dishes out systematically as possible, but I can't do it without the two men that accompany me throughout the week, and we've been trying to do as best as possible, I think, since December. We've been giving them good dishes since December, so we've been at it for at least a solid 5 months or better, doing what we could as best as possible. Calling in by way of the state of Wisconsin, Mr. Walsh himself. Bo, welcome to the cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
Hey, doing good, Ty. I don't know, and generally don't like to do housekeeping on the air, but I just a minute before I went on, I had something come up. Unfortunately, I'll only be able to be with the crew, with the three-man weave for about an hour today. So I don't want to do housekeeping on the air, but I wanted you to know up front because I just found out about something and shot you communication and social media, and I didn't know if you had a chance to look at it. But other than that, my man, I am ready to rock and roll. The reason I am ready, the reason I'm happy, the reason I'm glad to be here, Ty, is because you, as the world's greatest sports podcast host, are the Leviathan of large, loud lumination. You do it. You're never lachrymose. You're rarely lured, and you usually do it with levity. Let's get going. I'm ready.
But I asked you how you were, and then you tell me that you can't hang out. So I don't know if you don't want to address the question. Hey, you make me feel some type of way because, I won't even talk about it. I'll leave karma alone. Karma, like I said, karma sits outside my house every single day and waits for me to act stupid. So I'm going to relax and let you relax with me. I'm going to do the best that I can. And to complete the three-man weave, calling in by way of the state of Michigan from the borough of Brooklyn in the New York City era, we have Mr. Knight here in the building. Chandler, welcome to the cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm all right. Everything's good. It's okay, man. I know you're upset that the Rangers lost, but you can hang out if you want. I mean, you don't have to run.
I'm glad you said it. I wasn't going to say anything. I chill. Karma, I'm going to just let you know, don't mess with Chandler on that notion. Please leave him alone. Please leave him alone, man. I'm feeling some type of way about that. And I might as well get into that before we get callers or, the notable caller, probably Justin, will probably stop by and give me some crap so he can throw some stuff on the grill, and rightfully so, right? At the end of the day. But the first situation I want to get to is the game that took place in Montreal. I do want to get this out of the way. With the Rangers taking care of business and winning on the road two back-to-back games and holding Montreal to three goals in the past two games and winning that game last night 3-1, I'm actually at the edge of my seat at the nickname that everybody likes to notice, Henry. They call him the King, and I've been picking on him before the playoff run started. Before this run started, I said, Henry, You need to get your stuff together. That's exactly what I was saying, because it'll be games where Henry could, you know, just give up a barrage of goals, but it happens in hockey. And he has been standing true to form for the Blue Shirts, man. And Henry, I don't know if you heard me. I hope you did, but I tip my hat and salute you. You are doing an excellent job, and they actually scored early in that game and did not see another goal after that. But I want to see how you guys feel about this. The Rangers winning both games on the road, going back home, and this is before you guys, but I want to say this. This is what I wanted to see. Of course, I wanted to see these guys get their first two, but the reason why I say that is all the Rangers have to do is go home and at least get one game. I mean, you know, I'm being hopeful, and I can't really call the future at all, but you know Montreal is going to come out and play their best breed of hockey game three, and I don't know, man. The Rangers have been playing strong defense, getting their shots on goal and inspired, to say the least, to hold St. Louis down. But I don't even want to keep putting it in front of Marty at the end of the day. I want to give the rest of the team credit, even though that is a driving force at the end of the day. But I do want to see how you guys feel. Bo, I will come to you first. How about those Blue Shirts?
Well, it's a big win in game two. I mean, I felt Montreal would come out strong. They did. Got the early lead, but you know, it's just as you said. I mean, New York is playing so well. They scored some goals, you know, the last three goals, if I'm not mistaken, to win it 3-1. And look, here's the key. Montreal puts 40 shots on New York, and you know, they got the one goal, as you said, Ty, at the top, only two goals in three games. It's funny, and I think we had touched base on this before at the beginning of the series. Now, I didn't really follow either of these two teams that closely. I always try to see how the original six are doing, but in the four games they played during the regular season, if I'm not mistaken, I think there was five total goals in the four games. So defensive low-scoring battles. The key here is A, number one, the way Lundqvist is playing, and B, Montreal's issues in goal. We talked about it last night with Price. They call up an unseasoned his name's escaping me, but an unseasoned goalie to make the start for them in place of Budaj, as Chandler said yesterday. That shows you something about what they think of Budaj as a backup goaltender in this situation. But you know, it's a hard situation. It's a hard situation for anybody going to be making you know, a start like this. And New York did what they had to do. So I think now the Rangers are firmly in control. I can think of a couple series. It doesn't happen much, maybe only one or two in other sports. I can think of three or four series in hockey where a team has gone on the road and won the first two games and then not won the series. But this just seems, I thought last night was a game the Canadiens had to win if they were going to stay viable in the series. And this really just, to me, guys, tilts strongly in New York's favor. So, frankly, I expect the Rangers to come home. You're absolutely right. Montreal is going to come out and play. Be a, you know, to quote our, as you know, one of the cliches of hockey, they're going to be a desperate hockey team in Game Three. We know that. They've got a couple of great players, and they've had. I'm still trying to figure out how they got by Boston. I understand the rivalry and all that. As you guys know, I thought Boston was clearly the class of the East. So we know that this team is capable. But the reality, without Price there. You know, frankly, to be honest with you guys, I expect New York to prevail in Game 3, and I wouldn't be surprised if this was a four-game sweep.
Whoa. We are getting some accolades from Mr. Walsh. You know what? I don't even know what to do right now. I'm actually stunned, proud. Round of applause for this guy. Chandler, how do you feel about this? I mean, we finally got the how do I address this? The Red Wing guy, if you will, that, you know, just talked so much stuff about us, and now that we are finally putting it together and playing some strong hockey, and this is in the Eastern Conference Finals where, you know, me personally, I'm going to keep it real. Like, of course, you're hopeful to get to the Stanley Cup Final, but for them to get up until this point and to play – I might as well just say it, to play some dominating hockey right now and putting the pressure on Montreal. I mean, your thoughts on the game that happened last night and moving forward, going back to the Garden where we at least have to try and win a game. I can't say it's set in stone, but If they can get a game, because you know Montreal is going to play strong either game three or game four. If we get game three, I think we could potentially, like Bo said, close out and get that sweep. But Montreal, I wouldn't put it past Montreal to play their best game or their A game at the end of the day. But, Chandler, before you do that, you cannot say me or Bo are bad luck right now because we definitely pulled it out. But your thoughts on everything that's going down?
No, no, you guys are good. I'm pretty sure it's Barry that's bad luck at this point. So, listen, man, 1979 New York Rangers, Montreal Canadiens, Stanley Cup Finals. We outclassed them the first two games. We lost the series 4-2. So while I'm glad we won, I get more and more nervous as more and more people get on the bandwagon. I get more and more nervous because too many things can go wrong. A 2-0 lead really doesn't mean anything if you go back and only win one game in New York. It doesn't mean anything. Montreal, to be quite honest, played a better game than we did last night. We got a good bounce on the McDonough goal, and that kind of took the air out of them because they're not as mentally strong, I think, as they could be, as they would be with Price and goal, as they were with the kid Tokarski. Now, apparently, he was a really good minor league goaltender. His team won 28 straight games at one point. They won two of the AHL championships. I forget the name of the cup. I think it's Calder Cup.
Correct.
Championships. So this kid is a good goaltender. This is not some shrinking violet. And he actually played pretty well last night. I mean, the first goal was a bounce off of his own guy. McDonough took a shot, it bounced off one of their guys. And most goalies, they have on goals like that, that's not on them. That's usually on the defenseman standing in front of him at a place he shouldn't be, which is what happened. Rick Nash is starting to score, so everything is in our favor, which makes the Ranger fan in me cringe because, you know, I'm a Ranger fan and I expect bad things to happen. But as it stands right now, things are good. Lundqvist is the reason we won last night. We gave up 40 shots. You're not going to give up 40 shots and win every game. Most games you give up 40 shots, you're going to lose. So we have to tighten up. We actually, like I said, we didn't play a great game last night. The first period, we were a half step slow, fumbling pucks, turning them over. So I'm still trying to figure out what Therrien's rationale was for starting this kid over Budaj. I get that the kid has a great minor league pedigree, but Peter Budaj's been in the league. He played in Stanley Cup playoffs before multiple times. So I don't know if that says something about Budaj or says something about Therrien that he kind of panicked and went to this kid instead of the guy who's been his backup all year. Because if this kid was that good, then why wasn't he your backup all year is my question. So I kind of question what Therrien is doing right now. I don't know what he's doing right now, but if the Rangers – play a little better, tighten up the defense, we should be okay going into game three.
Hey, and that is what concerns me, and I think the goalie's name is Tokarski, if I'm not mistaken. And, I give Henrique a ton of credit, and I just think the physicality that the Rangers have actually addressed, these guys are actually playing physical, and the speed is getting to these teams too, especially Montreal getting in front of us and facing a buzzsaw at the end of the day. I just like how the Rangers are playing pretty much balanced. And, at the end of the day, the defense has been phenomenal. They've given up a goal this game, and the last game they gave up two. But at the end of the day, they had a five, well, at that time, they had a six-goal lead right there, and they gave up that second goal, and it was the 7-2 final in the last game. But, like I said, if the Rangers can continue to play this breed of defense, And like I said, I don't know if you heard me, Henrique. I hope I struck a nerve or pushed your buttons. I'm going to continue to do it. Henrique, you have to show up big for these guys to cruise down Broadway and bring the cup back home. That's what we need, man. We need this all throughout the postseason, and potentially if we could get through this series. We are not out of this by any stretch of the imagination. I definitely think Montreal will come out very inspired game three to not see a 3-0 deficit. But like I said, if New York could just steal a game at home, I think we're in the driver's seat. I won't say they're on cloud nine or comfortable. I just say we're in the driver's seat for the most part. But outside of Bo, who else would have thought that we wouldn't be here? You know, like this is an epic run right now that the Rangers are on, man. I love it, man. And Speaking of which, it potentially whoever comes out of this series sees who comes out of the Western Conference. And tonight we do have the Kings going back to the United Center to play the Blackhawks in a Game 2 battle where the Blackhawks are also a 1-0 lead, and the Kings have to save face. Now, the interesting thing about this is the Kings have faced deficits all postseason long and been pushed to the brink and have actually came back and have made their, series wins come to fruition at the end of the day. But this is a team that I'm concerned about. If Chicago gets to that point, I don't think Chicago puts their cards on the table and lets L.A. get back into the game. But we'll see how this pans out tonight, see if the Kings actually come up and play their best breed of hockey and can tie this up going back to California. Chandler, your thoughts on the Kings going into Chicago to try and steal one up against the Blackhawks?
I'm going to keep saying I get that the Kings have been coming back. I mean, they lost three games in a row twice in the playoffs. They shouldn't be here right now. They should not be here. They've lost three straight games twice in the playoffs. That's unheard of for somebody that's in the conference finals. But if they keep playing with fire, Chicago will burn them. Chicago will burn them. They need to win this game tonight. They need to win this game tonight because I can't see this going more than five games if they go down 2-0. I can't. I get that they've been coming back. Chicago is not like those other teams. Anaheim, I've never had any confidence in. San Jose was a collapse waiting to happen. I mean, they call him Jumbo Joe Thornton, and that is the smallest guy in the NHL. All right, so, San Jose was just a collapse waiting to happen. They've done that for years. Anaheim was flawed. Chicago's not. Chicago's bringing four lines of quality at you, plus a goaltender that just wins. He's not elite like Jonathan Quick. He just beats you. He just makes the saves that he needs to make. So if they keep messing around, Chicago's going to take them out. But I actually think L.A. is going to win this game because I think they know they have to win this game. So I look for L.A. to come out and kind of like Montreal last night, desperate, put a lot of rubber on Crawford, and I think they'll get a couple through. I say they win tonight 3-2.
Wow, and a nail biter, too. This is very interesting. Bo, how do you see this panning out? Does L.A. go back to California tied up, or will Chicago have some breathing room up 2-0, and why?
Well, a couple things. I just see the series differently. I mean, the pressure's on Chicago. Chicago's won one playoff game on the road. Chicago hasn't played, and I know they won the Stanley Cup last year. They haven't played a game where they faced elimination since the second round of the playoffs last year, where they did in game 6 and 7 against the Red Wings in the second round. You look at L.A., and I understand what Chandler's saying, and he's right in general. You're playing with fire, but look at this team. I mean, this team is only one season removed, 2 years, however you want to look at it, from winning the Stanley Cup. They were an eighth seed. They played six games facing elimination, and theoretically you'd say they shouldn't be here. They've lost three games in a row twice. Look, 2 years ago they won the Stanley Cup. Last year they went to the Western Conference Finals. This year, look where they are. I mean, this is a team that's proven to me, this isn't a team that, has had a hot week, that kind of thing, and has had everything fall into place or whatever. This is what they do. So I see the series differently. I believe as I understand it, that Chandler and I think you, Ty, do. I think the pressure's on Chicago. Chicago hasn't played well away from the United Center. They're very strong there. I believe they still haven't lost there. Let's not forget, in the last series, they jump out to a 2-0 lead over the Minnesota Wild, and they're outclassed. That's what everybody says. The Wild's got two guys that they're paying, $250,000 to over the last 10 years and nobody else. It's two games to two. And then you're kind of looking at the game five situation, or game six situation, and a lot of us thought that we're going back to United Center for game seven. So I know that's the last series, but for me, the idea that Chicago is just going to outclass these guys who are playing with fire and got by teams in Anaheim, who was the second best team overall in hockey during the regular season, third best, whatever it was, and I understand, not liking them as a cup team. That's one thing, but this is going to be a hell of a series. I don't think L.A., in terms of winning the series, has to get it tonight. Now I'm kind of with Chandler. I wouldn't be surprised if LA won tonight. When I put my money in, LA's the dog, and as people know, you always get a goal and a half in hockey, so I take that and run. But of course, I said that in game one, even though I thought Chicago would win the game. I thought we're gonna have a bunch of one goal, low scoring games here, and maybe we will. So I'm gonna say Chicago gets it done tonight. I look at, you know, as Chandler predicted. I mean, whether it's 3-2, 2-1, 1-0, we're gonna have a one goal game. But again, I'll just say this, all right? When we go into game five, and there will be a game five in my opinion, it's going to be 2-2. That's the way I feel about this series. So whether L.A. steals one tonight, whether Chicago goes back to Los Angeles up 2-0. And if I could, Ty, I wanted to add something back on the that we were talking about the other series, a couple things. One thing that Chandler said and one thing that you said, not trying to change the subject, but if I could get this in. I think Chandler's right with, you know, Montreal starting this goalie in terms of you have a guy in Budaj who's a backup who's got NHL experience. But I will say this, a lot of teams have that philosophy, you know, and sometimes, you know, there's different philosophies even within pro sports. I mean, we see it in every sport. In football, some teams go with two quarterbacks, some teams go with three, you know, whatever. But the philosophy of a lot of teams is that their young goalie, who's not good enough to start for them, but who's the future, whatever you want to call it, they would rather have him playing in the minor leagues, playing every night, than up, you know, in the big show, sitting on the bench and playing 15 to 20 games a year. I'm not saying it's right, and I'm not saying Chandler's wrong with his criticism of making that call, but I think that that's, I don't follow Canadians enough to know if that's what they're thinking, but I do know some teams have that attitude. They would rather have, you know, their goalie of the future. And my understanding of this guy is that he's done very well at the minor league level. They'd rather have him there playing every day. Now, it's a different animal, I think, in the playoffs. And I think another thing about Budaj is even though he's has a lot of experience, he's done relatively poorly in the playoffs. It's interesting, and we'll probably hear after the series is over, what this effect may have had on the other Montreal, you know, players and veterans, because I can't remember which one of you guys said. It's so true. If you have confidence in the guy in between the pipes there, if you don't, so, you know, that might have been part of goes into the equation of whether or not that was a good move or not. And by definition, they lost the game, so it must not have been a good move. The issue I have with you, Ty, is you keep talking about the defensive Rangers are playing. If you're talking about Lundqvist, yeah, I'm with you. You know, there's maybe an argument who's the best goalie in the world right now. Some people say Tuukka Rask. You know, a few weeks ago, some people might have said Ryan Smith. You know, Jonathan Quick's in that discussion. Lundqvist, of course. But I don't know about that defense. As Chandler said, you're giving up 40 shots. I'll just say this. In the next round for the Rangers, if they play Chicago or L.A., but particularly Chicago, if they're giving up 40 shots a game, Lundqvist ain't going to be enough to win that series. So I'm not saying they're playing bad defense, but I just want to have a voice there. I'd like to see them tighten up. I believe in game five of the other series, they held Pittsburgh to 18 shots, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe it was game six. That's the kind of defense that they've got to play. So I just wanted to add that in. But my call getting back to the West, I will go with Chicago to win by one goal tonight. But I think L.A. is going to go get the next two anyway.
Hey, can you be a little faithful in New York? I mean, even if, okay, I understand they have 40 shots on goal at the end of the day, and I agree, Chicago has that offense that continues to bring it and apply that pressure. But, you know, that'll actually be a good goalie matchup with Crawford and Henry going at. And I'm getting too ahead of myself, Karma. Please forgive me. Let my boys get through this situation. I didn't mean to jump the gun. See, you already got me jumping into that. But, listen, I agree with you about Henry actually having to stand tall at the end of the day. And the way that Montreal had to play that type of hockey. They had to get as many shots as possible to try and, like, lower the morale of the Rangers at the end of the day, because the Rangers have been getting goals. Like, they actually scored a goal each period. They scored first, they scored second, and they scored third, and, you know, just to increase their lead and get that cushion in between them. Montreal was just basically, I think, more or less just trying to build their offense up to, I guess, generate some type of aura out there. They're in front of their home crowd and getting beaten. They're getting beaten, like no. They can't even support what the crowd is trying to get them at the end of the day. I think that truly came off of effort trying to get back into the game, and New York wasn't having it. And regardless of the situation, I'm with you, and I attack Henrique a ton, and I think it's just more or less me trying to be a constructive critic at the end of the day, because there's been games where Henrique has blown it and give up four or five goals, and it's like, what's going on? But he's been in the pipes and doing work this postseason. And you could put him in that discussion as one of the top goalies right now in the postseason. If you want to put Quick in there, you want to put Crawford in there, you got to put Henrique up into this situation, because outside of what Henrique has done, even if Henrique is out of position, these guys have actually been in front of that goal and breaking some stuff up too. So I do give the defense some credit. I mean, that is a big number for them to get up 40 shots at the end of the day, but for them to only have one goal, so 39 of those missed, I give New York a ton of credit defensively. I definitely do.
Well, I think it just all depends on how you look at it. Yeah, I mean, ultimately what you're saying is true, but I'm from the old school. I separate defense from goaltending, and you can't really, but, you know, that's a lot of shots. So that's all I'm saying. But, you know, I don't understand why that's hating on New York. I mean, I don't know that there's a – if we look to the next round, for example, I mean, all I said was if you play Chicago for sure, giving up 40 shots a game, you're just not going to win. I would like to meet the Rangers fan that would disagree with that, so I'm not really sure how that's hating on the Rangers, and I just got done saying the goalie might be the best in the world. So, you know, I'm not sure how that's hating. But
how do you separate goaltending from defense?
Easy. Your defense, what you're doing on the blue line. If you're playing solid, if you're playing solid defense, you're not giving up 40 shots, particularly in the tight checking playoffs. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's bad defense, and it's not like you're playing against a high-octane offensive juggernaut. I just said it. I mean, I don't know if it was Game 5 or Game 6. New York only gives up 18 shots to Pittsburgh, who's probably, in terms of pure skill, except for maybe Chicago, the best team in the league offensively. That's good defense. That's good defense. That's all I'm saying. 40 shots and one goal is great goaltending. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know. Chandler, is there anything that you'd like to address before we get away from this?
A couple of things, Ty. And Bo's absolutely right. The defense has nothing to do with the goaltending. And the perfect example of that is Nashville. The Nashville Predators have one of the best defensive cores, 1 through 6. In the NHL, they have terrible goaltending, so they give up a lot of goals, not because of their blue liners, but because their goaltenders suck. The Winnipeg Jets are another one. They have good goaltending, and their defense stinks because they give up a lot of shots. So the amount of shots given up is directly related to your defense, but the amount of goals stopped is directly related to the goalie, so they you can't separate the two. And Bo, what kind of dogs you got, man?
I got a couple of mutts, actually. One's a lab and a beagle mix, and the other one is such a mix of everything. Just you know, name the first three breeds that come to your mind, and she's got some of that in her. So I apologize about that, guys. I do. What happened was the girlfriend, the dogs go crazy. You know how dogs are. When me or the girlfriend comes into the house, even if we've been gone 15 minutes, as far as the dogs are concerned, they haven't seen us for years. So I should have had a door closed there. My fault. I hate to distract you guys.
No, it's cool. I like dogs. That's what I was asking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so spilling from one conference final situation to another conference final situation, the Thunder go into San Antonio and get beaten pretty bad in a Game 1 situation where the Thunder lose by double digits to this Spurs team without one of their notable defenders in Serge Ibaka. And there's actually been statements coming out of the Thunder organization that says Ibaka says he is not ruling himself out for the postseason. And Scott Brooks is saying, yeah, right, don't even try to come through those doors and try to save us. You relax and rehab as best as possible. So there's a lot of issues going on with Oklahoma City right now, which are definitely getting under my skin, but I can't really dig too deep at that situation because you can't look at the Spurs like they're garbage. They were the best team in basketball this year with their record. So I want to see how you guys felt about the Game 1 situation with the Spurs taking care of business in their first game at home in the AT&T Center. I was saying the Alamo, that was the old place where the Spurs used to play. with the AT&T Center, where these guys actually took care of business up against the Thunder. Chandler, I'll come to you first. Your thoughts on game one between these two? Did we lose Chandler? Okay, I see him. Okay, Chandler, I'm sorry about that.
Hello?
Yes, we got you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Blog Talk kicks me off sometimes. I don't know what goes on with that. I didn't think that Ibaka's loss would – I thought it would impact him, but I didn't think it would be that noticeable an impact. Wow. They got to make some change. They got to do something, because if they keep letting Tim Duncan get off like that, this is going to be a real short series. I think this should go seven games, but the Spurs are just playing at another level right now. It wasn't close last night, and that's the thing. It wasn't close. It was boys against men playing out there last night. So I don't know if the Thunder can't figure out a way to play some better defense. Do something with Tony Parker and stop letting him just go around people. And what's the deal with Scott Brooks and his lineup where he takes Westbrook and Durant off the floor? What's going on with that? I don't get that. I don't get that at all.
I have no clue. The one thing that's getting under my skin about that is a lot of people didn't see that part. So I guess the part that you didn't see is what I'm going to spill into, and then I'll go to Bone. We do have a caller in queue. The Thunder got back into that game. The Spurs actually were up by, I think, 16 or 18 points. Halftime happened. The Thunder took the lead. Now, here goes the crazy part about this. When they took the lead, Collison and Steven Adams were on the floor, not Collison and Kendrick Perkins. You got a slow-footed center that could barely get off the floor. I don't know what Brooks is thinking, but it started to work once they had Adams and Collison on the floor. They took the lead by 1 point, though. Even though it was 1 point, they marched back from being down from hell's fire to get back into this game. And then here, listen to this lineup. Fisher, Westbrook, Reggie Jackson, Caron Butler, and Durant at the five. Now, I understand that Durant has a mismatch if they got Splitter D in them. Yeah, that's understandable. I understand that. What are you doing? Like, what are you doing? You just fought back to get into this game, keep your foot on the gas pedal. Now, Chandler, I know you like to catch me out and say, oh, he can't coach and throw in rotations. They fought back up against a Coach Popovich team with a huge lead to get the lead. And then he kept that small lineup in the game, right? Kept it in the game. And then that's when the lead went back up to double digits, and they didn't see the sunlight from that again. So it's like, I understand the small ball situation works, you know, especially for Oklahoma City. They make it work. They got great guys that can play their position and stretch the floor and make the defense pay at the end of the day. But, come on, you cannot continue to sit up there and, roll out and watch Duncan go crazy, guys like Splitter go crazy. They had Biggs coming off the bench doing work. Boris Diaw actually had a good game. You're putting Kevin Durant in a situation where he – and I agree with the commentators. Durant looked tired, exhausted, trying to deal with Parker off the screen, dealing with Kawhi Leonard. He had to beat everybody. He actually defended 1 through 5 last night, literally. Literally. Your shooter is what you want to put out there at the, on the plank, basically making him walk the plank. But I say this because I'm more or less the guy that watches the Thunder, the fan here at the end of the day. But, they have the unit that can get it done. The way that Adams and Collison played that ball to get back into that game, and for him to just get them back on the bench and not play them again, he didn't get them back out there till, it was out of reach again. So I'm actually questioning all of what Brooks sees. Bo, before you go, I'm going to actually let the caller in and see what's on his mind. Caller calling in from the 717 area code. I think this is Mike. Welcome to the cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Hey, Mike.
Guys, I want to talk about the most overrated player in the NBA everyone's drooling over that I've seen in the last 10 years in Kevin Love. I'm a blasted Celtics fan, and I want nothing to do with this guy. I don't have anything against him as a player, but if anybody thinks this guy's a max money guy, they're absolutely crazy. He's been in the NBA 6 years. Granted, his teams in Minnesota haven't been good, but a few of them have been average, and he's never even made the playoffs. I just can't believe all this love for Kevin Love, and I just think paying this guy max money, thinking he's your number one option on a team to take you to the championships is a huge mistake by any team that trades for him.
Wait, and I'd actually like to debate that, Mike, and I don't know how these guys will feel, and I definitely want to talk about the Thunder situation also. You don't think he's a max player? This guy is a double-double machine. He can stretch the floor, play the post. He does the dirty work for Minnesota. If he had anybody, if he had anybody outside of him on that team, I think they do work. I'm not giving Ricky Rubio any credit. Ricky Rubio can, he's flashy. He has a ton of passes. Rubio can't defend any point guard in the league. He's another Steve Nash to me. They don't have any star presence. I don't even want to go superstar presence outside of Kevin Love on that roster. None.
The only location I possibly see as a good fit for Kevin Love is Chicago, because he needs a rim protector like Noah and a defensive-minded coach like Thibodeau to be successful. If he goes to Golden State, all Golden State is a great offensive team with him. I just think if you think of Kevin Love as a max player, that he's the number one option going to take you to a championship, it's just a huge mistake. He just needs that center, that rim protector, or it's going to be a disaster if a team takes him and they don't have a center backing him up.
Okay, I want to see how they feel. I think he's star quality, definitely a max contract type of guy. And with you saying that was one of the topics I was going to bring up. The owner of the Minnesota Timberwolves says he does not plan on watching Kevin Love leave that team. So that entices this even more. So I wonder what type of money they're going to throw at him before he tries to walk, even though he says that he's testing the market. I think, Bo, you were trying to say something, if I'm not mistaken, and then I'll go to Chandler.
Yeah, and also, Ty, just so you know, again, I hate keeping on the air, but, the girlfriend's pretty good. I guess that's why I'm going to hang on to her. So that reason I had to go was has been taken care of. That errand has been taken care of. So I'm here for the duration. I realize that may not be good news to the rest of y'all. What question am I answering? Is Kevin Love a max player? And Mike knows I love him to death. He's just wrong here. I mean, if he doesn't like Kevin Love for some reason, that's fine. But I would imagine, Mike, that you're the only person in Celtic Nation that wouldn't love to have this guy, no pun intended. Ty, as you said, he's a double-double machine. He's arguably a top 10, top 15 NBA player. The whole thing about him not, doing much in the playoffs, I mean, they said that for years about Garnett, who was also in Minnesota, had a much better arsenal around him towards the end of his tenure in Minnesota and got to the playoffs, maybe even got to the conference finals, if I remember correctly, in the early 2000s or aughts or whatever the hell we're supposed to call them. But, wasn't gonna be a championship team. Obviously, Kevin went over to Boston, and I think that at the risk of raising the ire of my brother Chandler, I think, I have to admit that Boston fans think that worked out pretty well. So I'm sure that most in Celtic Nation want Kevin Love to come over. If Mike doesn't, that's fine, Mike. But, come on. This guy is a legit superstar. Ty is absolutely right, and he said it so well. He is a double-double machine. So is he a max player? No doubt about it. And when I was chuckling earlier, I wasn't laughing at Mike's point. I would never do that because it's always stated so well. It's just you guys know how I feel about the Chicago Bulls. And, I mean, we hear this in the media and all that. Everybody wants to go to Chicago all the time. The Chicago Bulls, instead of having only won, two playoff series since Michael Jordan retired, or maybe it's three total, they'd have won about 10 championships if everybody that was going to go to Chicago. Kevin Love's going to end up in Chicago. He's going to join Carmelo might go there. Kobe, everybody else that was going to go to Chicago. So as a diehard Pistons fan, whenever I hear a superstar, Chicago's mentioned. And to my – I could be missing one, but only one big-name free agent in the post-Jordan era has chosen to go to Chicago. I'm not talking about the lottery. I'm not talking about anything else. I'm talking about big-name free agent, and that's Ben Wallace. But the media, you know, everybody's going to Chicago all the time. I love the city of Chicago. Hate the Bulls. Love the city of Chicago. You know, come on. So I had to get that out there. That's the Pistons fan in me. But the point, Mike's point, I just disagree, Mike. If you don't like Kevin Love as much, that's fine. But this guy is absolutely legit.
And the crazy part about this is, and I was a little too young to see him in his heyday, and, you know, God rest her soul, my grandmother used to say I looked like him when I was a kid or whatever. But he broke Moses Malone's record of you know, back-to-back games of double-doubles. And knowing that these teams had to try and either keep him off the glass or keep him from scoring on a team that they knew he was the only option. He was the only option in Minnesota at the end of the day. So it's like, wait, you mean to tell me he's not a superstar? Now picture him on any of these teams, even though we downgrade the situation of him going to Golden State, which they're just going to be a high-powered offense, but the defense will still be in question. And I do agree with you there that he doesn't play a strong breed of defense. I mean, he may get physical at times, body some guys up down there, but he's not the best of defenders. But you got to try to keep him off the glass. He's worked on his jump shot. He has closeout capabilities, one game feathering shots in dude's face. I don't know how you could take away from him. I mean, what was the double-double record? I think it was over 56 games, and there were some games where he was playing. They said if they had to keep him off the glass, he still was getting 21 rebounds and 30 points. Knowing that Kevin Love is this dynamic, and he was one of the guys that not only made an All-Star team, I don't even want to count the All-Star, because that's votes, but he's also an Olympian, too. So he had to get some type of credit to make it to the Olympic team also. So I don't know how you could try and draw up that he's not a superstar at the end of the day. And I understand that you're a Celtics fan. I can understand that you're a Celtics fan. You don't want to see him go to Boston. The team that I think that they are announcing that he could potentially go to are Chicago and Golden State, if I'm not mistaken, or potentially L.A., but we'll see how that all ends up panning out at the end of the day.
Let me just jump in here real quick, and I'll tell you why I think about him the way I do. I mean, Minnesota's had, let's say they've been average at best in his 6 years. If he was a true superstar, we're talking, you know, 5 to 7 players in the league, one of those 6 years, they would have at least snuck in the playoffs as an 8 seed. But no, they haven't even sniffed the playoffs in all those years he's been there. He has a decent center there. I think it's Pekovic. I agree with you. Rubio is trash. I'm not going to argue that point. But he's had some other players. Martin's been there. If he's a true superstar, everyone's saying as good as he is, he would have made the playoffs at least once. I mean, there's 8 teams that make the playoffs.
Well, that's the problem, Mike. That's the problem with that argument. Your premise is false. You started that out by saying, let's just say Minnesota over his time in the league has been an average team. Your premise is false. They haven't been, because you're absolutely right. Only 8 teams don't make the playoffs in it's a little bit more than 8. But you know, yeah, I understand what you're trying to say. But no, Minnesota hasn't been an average team. They've been a below average team. That's why I think that I would agree with you. If Minnesota were a team that you look at and say they've got the pieces there, and they should have at least made the playoffs in some of these years. I don't follow the T-Wolves very closely, but I know enough to know there's not a year where I sat and looked at them, that Love's been there, I'm talking about, that I said, yeah, definitely, this is a playoff team. You know, especially, you know, and they're in a very tough conference. So I see your point. I don't have a problem with your argument in general. But in applying it to Minnesota, I think your premise is false. They're not an average team by the standards of playoff teams in the conference that they're in. They have been average. They're below average.
If they were in the Western Conference, if they were in the Eastern Conference, they'd make the playoffs. They would make the playoffs. It'd be much easier for them to play ball. They are in a conference where it's a knock-em-out, drag-em-out situation. I mean, if you look at where they are, In the standings that they finished out, they were 40-42. They missed 500 by 2 games. The way that you're judging it made it look like they were about 8 to 10 games under 500 in this respective Western Conference at the end of the day. And by the way, they lost their last 3 games to, you know, go out on the streak, so they were actually above 500 before closing this thing out. New Orleans has turned it around. Denver has turned it around. These are the teams that are at the bottom half of the Western Conference, and all 8 teams that are ahead of these guys, or 9, including Phoenix. Phoenix was at the 9th seed with a 48-34 record and didn't make the playoffs. and they'll make the playoffs. And just combating the situation with Kevin Love, I mean, we'll look at it like this. Mike, I want to address this, and I'm going to get we got Just Blaze here, too. I want to see how he feels, but I want Chandler to answer this, too. I'll let Chandler go first, then I'll go to Justin. Where do you rank Kevin Love as power forwards in the league right now? Top 5, top 10, top 15?
Are you asking that for me?
Yes, sir.
I'll put that's a tough one. Blake Griffith over him. I'll put
really.
I'm gonna put someone like Chris Bosh over him. I know I'm gonna take some heat for that
what?
On here.
I'm looking for
players like Zach Randolph. I'm looking for players that prove themselves in the playoffs, that in a big game, a big situation, I can count on. I don't know if you saw the report the other day, but Kevin Love's own teammate said he's not a leader on the team. I just think paying someone max money, this guy does not have the intangibles. I don't see it. I know you guys are arguing with me, and you know, with all due respect, I disagree. He's not a max player that's going to take you to a championship. He's going to take you to the second round of the playoffs. Now, if he's the third best player on a team, that's where he's going to fit in good. But if you want him as a 1A option, the team that gets him ain't never going to the championship if he's the best player on that team.
Okay, Chandler, I don't know how you feel about this. I've not asked you any questions about Kevin Love, so this is going to be interesting how you feel about it. I'll get Justin in after you. But your thoughts on what we're addressing right now.
Now, usually I just disagree with Boston fans simply because they're Boston fans, which automatically means they're wrong. But in this instance, I'm not doing it because of that, but you couldn't be more wrong. To say somebody couldn't single-handedly carry a team to a championship means they're not a superstar is kind of silly when you look at the fact that if Kevin Durant didn't have the players around him, do you think Oklahoma City would be in the Western Conference Finals? Because they wouldn't. Would they make the playoffs? Maybe. Maybe. In the Western Conference. Wait a minute. Wait. I've listened the whole time. I never interrupted. In the Western Conference.
Right.
One guy is not going to carry you anywhere because there are so many good teams in the Western Conference. You take Russell Westbrook and Serge Ibaka off the Oklahoma Thunder and tell me, aren't they now the Minnesota Timberwolves? Okay? They're the Minnesota Timberwolves. You take Chris Paul and Jamal Crawford off of the Los Angeles Clippers, they're the Minnesota Timberwolves. They got one guy that thinks let me finish, they'll win some games. But they ain't doing the whole lot. Kevin Love is a guy who is a superstar. I could care less what people get paid. That's the management's job to figure out how to make money work. I'm never going to begrudge a guy getting money. I want everybody to get max money. I want these guys to get paid, okay? But leaving that out, okay, the fact of the matter is Kevin Love by himself going to win a championship? Absolutely not. There's only one guy in this league who can win a championship by himself. His name happens to be LeBron James. Everybody else needs some help. Everybody else needs some help. The Minnesota Timberwolves, had they been in the East, probably would have been a 4 seed. So are you kidding me? And this was just with Kevin Love. Come on, man. And I'm no great Kevin Love fan, but when you want to speak about the defense, Kevin Love averages, 12, 15 rebounds a game, and I'm probably on the low side with that. Most of his rebounds are defensive rebounds. And what is part of defense? Limiting teams to one shot. So guess what? He plays defense because he hits the defensive boards. Maybe he's not a good one-on-one defender, but he's a good team defender, and he gets defensive rebounds, which limits the other team to one shot, which makes your team better defensively. 1 + 1 = 2. Okay, so to say he's not a superstar, he is a superstar. Is he going to win a championship by himself? No. But you know what? Nobody else is either. Even Tim Duncan hasn't won a championship by himself. You know, he needed the Tony Parkers, the David Robinsons, the Manu Ginobili's to win. You take Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili off the Spurs. Tell me if you think the Spurs are in the Western Conference Finals, because they're not. So that argument is flawed.
Well, could I jump in, Ty, or do you? I'm not. Do you need to get? Oh, we gotta get to Justin. I'm sorry.
Go ahead while it's still hot. I know Justin don't want to get at this too. Go ahead. I'll let you go.
All I was going to say is I agree in general with what Chandler's saying, for sure, but I think what Mike was saying, and if I got us off this train, I apologize, Mike. I don't think Mike was saying K-Love should have taken Minnesota to a championship. He's talking playoffs. But the point about them being in the Western Conference and how tough it is right. And you know, I think also there's a distinction here, and I think this is a mistake, or maybe not a mistake, but where I'm disagreeing with Mike, it seems like Mike is equating being that elite guy that you can win a championship or the kind of guy that can get, because there's no single player in the NBA, even LeBron, undoubtedly the best player. There's no single player that's going to win a championship by himself. You don't believe me? Ask LeBron himself. Ask any Cleveland Cavaliers fan over the age of 12. Okay, you need help. Having said that, there are a few guys that if you put this guy on any team, that team's automatically significantly better and probably a championship team. There's maybe a handful of guys like that. There's maybe four or five right now. There's a couple guys playing right now that used to be that guy, but they may not be that guy today, even though they're still very good players. That's different than being a max contract guy. We sometimes as fans combine those two. Oh, he's a max contract guy, so therefore he's that elite guy. I mean, we have this argument, guys, all the time in football season about the truly elite quarterbacks versus the guys who are just good or haven't been there yet or get the money or this, that, or the other. So I guess what I'm saying is, for me, it's a different thing. I can legitimately see how somebody would say, hey, listen, Kevin Love isn't that guy that because you have him on a certain roster, you can now win a championship. He may not be that guy. If that's what Mike's saying, I'm with him. But there's only two or three of those kind of guys out there. There's hype like there's 25 or 30 guys out there like that, but there's not. You know, Chandler knows what I'm talking about with Carmelo Anthony. I love Carmelo, great player. But if there's anything that's been proven, he's not the guy in and of himself that's going to make you a championship-caliber team. I mean, that's not a knock on him. It's just true. But that's different than being a max contract guy. Is Carmelo a max contract guy? Absolutely, without a doubt. And so I'm not saying, you know, that Kevin Love is equivalent to Carmelo as a player. All around, he's better, in my opinion. But, you know, so I think that that's all I want to say, Ty. I think there's a difference because Mike kind of combined them, and that's fine if he wants to do, but I think that sometimes we got to separate that because when you talk about, well, because we have this player, in and of itself, just him, takes us to that next level, whether it's making the playoffs, whether it's, you know, we were a playoff team, but now we're a championship team. Let's get real, guys. There's only two or three guys like that in the NBA, but there's a lot more than two or three guys that are worthy of a max contract.
Okay, Justin, welcome to the cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
Oh, my God, I was over here dying. I'm good. I agree with Mike. I agree with Mike. So it's not 100%, but I agree with the majority of what he was saying. What he was saying is, Kevin Love, that Minnesota, y'all making it seem like that Minnesota team was garbage. That is not garbage. That team was good enough to make the playoffs in six, not all 6 years, but if he was a true superstar, which he's not a superstar, he's a star, he would have made the playoffs. You forget he can't win a championship by himself. We know that. He can't win a championship. But he could have got that team to the playoffs, especially this year.
Thank
you. Rubio, you got a bunch of pieces around him that if you had a real superstar, they would have made the playoffs. I'm sorry. That kid, Peflovich, whatever the center name, he's a good, solid center. He's probably one of the top 10 scoring centers in the league. You got you have Rubio, who's a great passer. You have you got Kevin Martin on a team who's a proven scorer in this league, who's averaged in between 17 to 24, 25 points a game in this league. You got Corey Brewer, who's a great defender. You got a bunch of team players on that team that could have won games if he was a real superstar. If you put Melo or another Blake Griffin on that team, they would have made the playoffs. I'm sorry, they would have made the playoffs. I'm not saying they're going to win the championship, but they would have made it. Now, if Kevin Love, I disagree with Ty when you said if you put Kevin Love on Golden State, they wouldn't be much different. They'll be a lot different. David Lee's a good player, but he's not Kevin Love. And Kevin Love, what he does the best is actually offensive rebound. I mean, he gets a few defensive rebounds, but his offensive rebounding is knack. He has a knack for getting that ball. He has no athleticism, but he just has a knack for being in a position to make the rebounds. I watch him a lot. He's a good player, but he disappears in fourth quarters. So that's why he would match up great with Stephen Curry and the two guards on the team. I'm sorry, yeah, Thompson.
Thompson.
He would Yeah, he would match up great with that. He would fit in great with that team. He would be a great piece for that team. They would have definitely probably beaten the Clippers if they had him in that series. What they really need, though, besides that, though, actually Ty's right. They do need a defending big man, which would have been Bogut. Jermaine O'Neal got hurt. All you need to do is get an athletic big to go along with Kevin Love to really solidify that paint. But that would be a great, great step for them if they were able to get Kevin Love. But he's definitely not a guy that – I mean, I understand what Bo was saying as far as max contract. He probably is a max contract guy in this league because of what he can do. But he cannot – you know, you cannot give him money and expect him to just say, here, and save our franchise. He's not going to do that unless you have the pieces. But I agree with what Mike is saying, though. He should have won at least made the playoffs one of these years if you're going to call him a superstar. I wouldn't give him that title, but he does deserve max money, definitely, because he's young and he can do a lot of things. I mean, shooting at three, shooting at mid-range. He's got to work a little bit more on his post-up, straight back to the basket game, but that, he probably won't even get to that because he's an undersized power forward who's just a big body. So, I mean, the kid is definitely a star in this league. He can get you double-doubles, but it's easy to do that when nobody else on your team really rebounds as well as he does.
Yep.
So I mean, and I disagree with what Chandler said about Kevin Durant being by himself. This guy was the MVP because of what he did when Westbrook was gone in this season. How they won, I don't know how – Ty knows how many games they won in a row without Westbrook. I mean, you can get it done if you're a true superstar. You'll get regular season wins. People, when you go to a different city every night and different teams every night, you're gonna get wins when you're playing at a high level like Kevin Durant was playing this year. Kevin Love never played at that level in his career to be called a superstar. I just look at Chris Paul. Chris Paul, they fight the people. We got people fighting to say he's a superstar, and he's carried the sorry Hornets to the playoffs numerous times and gave my Lakers a scare in the first round of the playoffs without another true superstar on his team or without the talent on his team. So
that's
I don't want to
lie.
Hear that.
That's a lie. That's a lie. David West is an all-star.
He's not a superstar. Stop it. David West is a good player.
Really?
He's not an all. How many all-stars he been to, Ty? When he was on the Hornets, how many all-star teams he was on when he was on that team? How many all-star teams he's been on since he's been on the Pacers? Come on now. He's not a superstar. He's not an all-star. He might have made an all-star, but he's not an all-star. He's not that. You can't label him an all-star. He's not a perennial all-star guy. No. David West is a good player. But Chris Paul is the reason why they got to the playoffs. I don't want to hear that. This guy, Kevin Love, could have made them better. It could have made them. I mean, look, if you watch him in the fourth quarter, he disappears because he can't get it done in the fourth. They lost a lot. You know how many close games this team lost in the last 2 years? How many close games they lost in the fourth quarter? Because he disappeared.
I've seen it time and time again myself, so I'm with you 100%. His own teammates say that he's not a true leader. And you want to pay him $20 million a year?
And he was right about the intangibles. He doesn't have those intangibles to make his team better. He just wants to – he gets his because he's just that gifted enough to get his, but he's not that guy that's going to get you over the hump when you need to get over the hump. So, like I said, somebody said that he would be a great second or third piece to a team.
Yep.
And that's totally true. If you put him on certain teams, maybe the Bulls with another piece, if Derrick Rose is healthy, you put him on some teams like that, he can definitely be a big, big asset. But I wouldn't call him a superstar. He's definitely probably worth $20 million because like there's not that many players in the league that can do what he does. But he's not going to carry you. So usually when you pay somebody $20 million, they carry you at least to the playoffs. And he can't do that unless you have the talent around him to do that. So I disagree. So, you know, that's how I feel about it. I was just like listening to him, y'all ganging up on him. I'm like, man, he's totally right.
Well, I'm trying to say I must have misunderstood the question, because now what it is, I thought the original question, or I should say the premise,
I didn't hear the original question.
Is this a max contract guy? Justin, are admitting that he probably is. But the arguments I've heard is that Kevin Love is not the best player in the NBA. I don't remember me or Chandler or Ty saying he was. And then with the thing is he can help you if you have other pieces. I've been assuming that Boston or Golden State, and, of course, we got to throw in Chicago because everybody wants to go to Chicago. Nobody ever does, but everybody wants to, according to the media. You know, I've been assuming that all those teams were kind of planning on putting some pieces around them. So I'm not really sure, with all due respect, Justin. I see what you're saying. Maybe the real disagreement is, do we call him a superstar or not? You don't.
Yeah.
I respect that. But you also said, and you're right, he can do things in the league that almost nobody else can do. You just said that yourself. Some people would say that makes a superstar. Maybe not. I'm not really worried.
No.
Call him what you want to. I mean, call him a Fuller Brush salesman. I don't care. I'm talking about, is this a kind of player that most NBA teams, if they could have him, would dole out a max contract? And I think even both of them, well, maybe not Mike so much, but even you, Justin, said, yeah, even you said he's a max contract guy. So I'm agreeing with you. He's not the best player in the NBA. He's not elite if you're going to talk about that LeBron-Kevin thing, but I don't think he ever said he was. That's all.
No, but there's a few power forwards that are better than him. He's probably in the right after five in that tweener range between 10 and 5 power forwards.
Him. I agree with that.
Yeah,
I'd rather have Blake, no doubt.
Of course. I mean, but what the thing? What
wait.
I'm saying is, what you saying?
Wait. Give me the five power forwards you got marked ahead of Kevin Love in the league right now, because he's five. Top five rebounding, top 10 in scoring out of everybody. Not just at the power forward position, out of everybody. He's averaging 26.5 with 27. If you round up, he's averaging 27 points and 13 rebounds a game.
Okay, but you can't go by numbers. If players are on – first of all, Chris Bosh is a better power forward than him. When Chris Bosh wasn't on the Heat, if Kevin Love was on the Heat, he wouldn't average 26 points a game, TP. Come on now.
Exactly.
That's
what I've been saying.
Come on now.
For a long time. How many players over the years do you see pad their stats on bad teams?
Exactly.
How many points do you think he's averaging at Golden State or another team that isn't going to let him do whatever he wants out there?
He's not going to average 26 points a game. He's still going to get his, but he's not going to average 26 and 10 or 26. He'll probably still be around the same round of rebounding unless he's on a team with another good rebounder on his team. He's probably not going to – that kills your rebounds. It does. But Chris Bosh, when he was on Toronto, he was getting 22 and 10 every year, and he brought – and he made the playoffs. He made the playoffs, though. He won 50 games. He won 50 games. Come on now. How many times has Kevin Love won 50 games?
How many times did they make the playoffs?
I'm going to say at least two.
They only made it once. They made the playoffs once with Chris Bosh. Once.
Okay,
and
but they won over 50 games.
They
won over 50 games.
But they
won over 50 games. I know that.
And they didn't just have Chris Bosh. They had more than Chris Bosh.
Who they have? Give me some names. Who they have? Give me a little star on that team. Give me a little star.
Toronto team.
Look it up. TP, look it up.
Bosh, they had the year they won 50 games, they had Bosh, they just got Bargnani. They had who was at the point guard? They had a good point guard.
Give me a star. Give me another all-star that made that team. Nobody.
They did have an all-star on the team.
They did not have a – they were good enough to make the playoffs because Bosh led them there. Bosh led them there. Was he not the leader? Was he an all-star that year?
That was the reason they got rid of him. They didn't want him because they said he wasn't a leader.
No,
for years,
he didn't
want
to be here. What do you mean they got rid of him? He didn't want to be here.
For years, Chris Bosh got bashed because they said he wasn't a leader. He wasn't a leader. He wasn't a leader. Okay? And don't change the narrative now, because that was the media's knock on him his entire career, that he wasn't a leader. That's been a knock his entire career. So now all of a sudden he goes and not for nothing, he got dragged through the mud because he went to Miami and everybody said, look at him. He's not a leader. That's why he went to Miami. He's a bum. That's why he went to Miami.
No.
So he doesn't have to be the leader. So he can ride LeBron coattails. And then all of a sudden we're going to give him credit for what we've been criticizing him for years? Are you kidding me?
We said the same thing about LeBron. They were saying the same thing about LeBron for teaming up with them. So what's the difference? You're teaming up with other superstars to win. They said the same thing about LeBron. Is he a scrub too?
You can't change the narrative now.
Come
if you are going to knock Chris Bosh, okay,
Okay,
and the
Chris
entire, it wasn't, first of all, it wasn't everybody that said that. The entire media, the Toronto media, everybody in the NBA, any of the so-called experts, for years, all they said about Chris Bosh is he's not a leader. No one's ever not called LeBron a leader. They said that he wasn't Michael Jordan. Okay? That's what they were talking about. We're not talking
about
Chris
Bosh. They said LeBron couldn't get it done. Bosh would have still been in Toronto if he wanted to stay in Toronto. Don't give me that they ran him out of there. If he wanted to play in Toronto, he would have been there. He wanted to go choose. He chose to go win, just like LeBron did.
They wanted to give him the money to stay. They wanted to do a sign and trade. They weren't going to give him the money to stay.
Because they wanted to do a sign and trade. If he said, I
wanted
to play for Toronto, he would have stayed in Toronto.
They were not going to give him the money.
Time out. You're telling me Chris Bosh, if he wanted to stay in Toronto, they weren't going to give him max money?
No, they weren't.
Show me the article. Show me the article. I don't believe it.
Look up any Toronto social media.
I don't believe it. They probably said it after the fact he left. I don't care. This guy brought you to the playoffs after you were irrelevant since Vince Carter. Don't tell me you were going to give him money. That doesn't make any sense.
They weren't
going to
give him max money.
Okay, well, even if you're right, he brought him to the playoffs. They won 50 games. Kevin Love did none of that. None of it.
Okay, so that makes Love that makes Bosh better than Kevin Love because before he got to Miami, he got his team to the playoffs one time. Okay, fine.
No, he got to the team to the playoffs, and he was a better player. He was a better player. Point blank. Period.
I got to ask a question. Maybe I'm missing something here, Justin. So you're picking up a guy. You're talking about all this great stuff he did in Toronto. Toronto, in their entire history, has been in the playoffs four times. They've won one playoff series. Chris Bosh did not lead them to that before we get into that argument. Chris Bosh was 17 years old at the time. So what does that have to do with what does that have to do with Kevin Love? I pulled up that the year you're talking about in terms of the other guys he had around him, Chandler's right. They had Bogdanović, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. They had Calderon at the point guard. They had TJ Ford at the point guard.
Players.
So it's not a great, great roster, but it's a solid roster. They had Mo Petersen at the shooting forward.
I don't understand what that has to do with. Kevin Love had the same talent this year, and they didn't go that way. He had better talent, and they didn't go that route.
That's what I'm trying to say.
If he was a superstar, they would have made the playoffs at least the eighth seed. I heard TP mention he mentioned Phoenix in the same category as them. Name me a superstar on Phoenix that was close to making the playoffs. They don't have a superstar on Phoenix. They don't.
Hey, Bo, close. Bo, you got to look at one more thing with Kevin Love. Everything I've said about him, how about his injury concerns? Do you want to pay this guy a five-year, $100 million contract with his injury concerns he's had in the past to go along with everything else I've said? Not clutch at the end of games, not a good defensive player. That's a huge risk paying Kevin Love max money, and I want no part of him as a Celtics fan.
No, I don't agree with the injury. I think I don't think he's an injury-prone player.
He's missed a lot of games in his 6 years. I mean, I can tell you that.
But my philosophy is when you're playing on a bad team, you don't want to play injured. That's just the truth. Guys don't play injured when they're on a bad team. If you're on a good team, you fight through it. That's just the truth. He didn't have no season-ending injuries. He just didn't want to play through injury when you're playing on a team where you're not competing.
Well, what does that tell you about a player right there? That happens a lot.
Monte Ellis did that a lot. I mean, that just happens. That happens.
Okay, now.
And then when he goes to Dallas, he plays all, he plays damn near 82 games.
Looking at Toronto's record while Bosh was there, he made it to the playoffs twice, and he never won a 50-win.
That's what I thought, twice.
He never had a 50-win season. The best that they did do, I give him credit, they went 47-35. They both lost in the first round. They lost both of their situations in the first round. And on these respective teams, he had Calderon, which I'd take Calderon over Rubio any day. I will. Calderon's been successful in the league. What has Rubio done?
He hasn't been on the playoff team, but he's getting you 9 assists or whatever his assist is.
And that's all he does is pass the ball. You got two hands, you can pass the ball.
What? Jason Kidd did that
too.
What
else did he do? What else did he do on that team? What does Rubio do on that team? Interesting. He can't shoot.
What do you mean interesting?
He can't shoot the ball. He doesn't even draw presence away from a guy like Love, and Love still gets his numbers. And another thing that you said of Love's numbers being, you know, padded, especially rebounding with another big that can rebound, Petrovic rebounds the ball like crazy. Petrovic gets double-digit rebounds.
How many rebounds?
He gets double-digit rebounds. I'm looking right at it. I'm looking at it right now. Petrovic gets double-digit rebounds a game.
Okay, how many? And how many years?
He's getting kicked. He's only been there for two years.
Exactly. So who else was getting the rebounds before that?
He had nobody there. Who else was there?
Okay.
Name some names. Kevin Martin. Wait, hold on. Kevin Martin just left Oklahoma City. So he just picked up Kevin Martin. He had Derrick Williams that barely got time. Give me some names. I need names that you say that he has quality players alongside him.
I said this season was his best chance to make the playoffs, and they didn't scratch the surface.
This team was talented enough to win the playoffs.
I asked you to give me some names. In Toronto, I didn't hear no names. Calderon ain't no name. You can call it. You can say he's a good player, but that's not a name.
Oh, he is a good player. I mean, Ty's right. I mean, Ricky Rubio has the name, you know, the ESPN hype, the kid from Spain or Argentina, whichever one it was, Italy, whatever, and he's got some talent. But Ty's right. Jose Calderon, especially in his prime, real solid point guard. I'm not saying Rubio won't get there because he's still a young guy, but, you know, that team in Toronto wasn't garbage. I got some other numbers for you. Kevin Love's at 19-2. They're both at 19-2 points a game for their career, according to Basketball Reference. If you can believe it, they're both at exactly 19.2 for the career. For rebounds, Kevin Love's at 12.2. Chris Bosh is at 8.7. And I know you're going to say, well, he's on a good team, so for some reason there's the argument if you're on a bad team, there's a lot more rebounds to get. I'm not sure I understand that.
I'll give him the advantage in the rebounding department. I'm not sure I buy that.
I mean, that must not have been the case when Bill Russell was playing with the Celtics, because I understand he got a lot of rebounds and they were a pretty good team. But in terms of the rebounding there, Chris Bosh has been over 10 rebounds a game three times in his entire career. Kevin Love averages 12 rebounds.
I give him the rebound advantage, but when he was on Toronto, he averaged double figures majority of the years. When he got to Miami is when his points dipped, and that's why his average is only at 19.
You're right about the points. I'm with you on the points.
Yeah, that's when his points dipped. But the rebounding, Kevin Love is a better rebounder than Bosh. But Bosh is just, to me, he was a better player all the way around. Like, he could even defend better than Kevin Love, and I don't even like Chris Bosh like that. He's just a better defender than Kevin Love, and because he's longer, he's a lot longer.
Oh, hold on, I got the roster in front of me too. That the team Bosh had in 2006.
Okay.
This is the roster: Farniani, okay. Calderon, T.J. Ford, Chris Humphries. He also had Nesterovic.
You're still naming players. None of these players are relevant.
Well, not now, Justin.
No, even then, they weren't relevant. Barnyarny wasn't even good. He was a
hell of a player before he got hurt.
Barnyarny was a disappointment then. You talking about disappointments. He was a disappointment then. His best year
was
when Chris Bosh left.
Barnyarny was a rookie that year.
I know, and you keep naming him like he did something. He didn't do anything.
They got to the playoffs.
I know they got to the playoffs, but that's what I'm trying to tell you.
You're naming names. Wherever Barnyarny goes, they always want to ship him out the next year
exactly.
after he's spot there.
His best years is when Bosh left.
I don't know.
He was a disappointment.
Hang on. This supporting cast, I give the leg up over Minnesota's supporting cast this year.
Stop it.
Stop it right now.
Well, you also got to look at the quality of competition. I'm not trying to be funny here. I'm still not sure what we're arguing about. I mean, we're talking about the 2006 Toronto Raptors. I'm quite sure that diehard Raptors fans aren't talking about that crap. Whether they have more talent than the Minnesota Timberwolves. I mean, I'm not sure what that has to do with anything. Bosh took a team. I mean, are we saying that the Eastern Conference in 06 was as tough as the Western Conference this year? I mean, we've got to factor all that in. I mean, why can't we just look at straight-up numbers? I mean, at this point in their career, and Justin's right, I mean, Bosh, you know, the points dipped a lot in Miami. But, you know, Kevin Love gives you both. Kevin Love at this point is
is what, okay. You know, here you talk, Justin. I mean, Bosch and people thought of him this way. One of the elite guys when he was in Toronto. I'm just not clear why Kevin Love isn't there now. I mean, are we really saying that to be a superstar, you've got to be on a half-ass team in a middle market and get them to the playoffs one time and lose in the first round? I mean, is that what we're saying? I mean, if that's what we're saying, because you're right, Kevin Love hasn't done that. But would that make him a superstar? Because then you guys would be saying, well, he got to the playoffs once or twice, but if he was a true superstar, you know, that eighth seed would upset the number one seed. I mean, if you don't like the guy, I mean, you know, people don't like LeBron. He's only won three championships, or he's never won without Wade. So, I mean, look at what the man does on the court. I mean, he's not a superstar because he hasn't made the playoffs in Minnesota? Come on, guys. You guys know too much about basketball to really believe that.
No. If Chris Paul never made the playoffs at all, period, they wouldn't be calling him a superstar. And half of that would be because of his play. It wouldn't have been good enough to make the playoffs. You got a fact. Okay. You have to look at that. Name me another superstar that hasn't made the playoffs that you call a superstar.
Whoa! Wait, but you're talking about what now? Currently, or are you talking about looking at the entirety of their career? I mean, that's what you're looking
well,
at.
Well, give me a player that's been in the league for at least 4 years that you call a superstar that hasn't made the playoffs. It's hard to find that. It's hard to find that one.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
So what does that mean? My question is, what does that mean? Are you saying that if you're a superstar, you have to make the playoffs in your first 4 years? I mean, is that what you're
Kevin
saying?
Kevin Martin, okay, for example, Kevin Martin, before he was in OKC, he was averaging like over 20 points a game, maybe 23 points around that average. Was he a superstar?
With Houston?
Forget Houston. Okay, you can even include him in Houston, but I'm talking about when he was on the bad teams and he was getting 20. When he was averaging, I'm talking about he was one of the top scorers in the NBA.
Was he
a superstar?
He was scoring that much in Sacramento then.
Okay, yeah, he was doing that. Okay, wherever he was, where he was averaging, he was one of the top. Was he a superstar? Was he a superstar?
See, but my point, Justin, I'm going to do you
exactly.
No,
that's what I'm saying. He put up numbers in bad teams.
Let's not call him a superstar, if that makes you happy. Let's not call him a superstar. Let's call him just another bum that averages a double-double.
No, I said he's a star.
No,
he's not a superstar.
We're not going to call him a superstar. Here's my thing and Mike's original point, because I think Chandler's right when he accused you, and I know he didn't mean a bad way, when he accused you of changing the narrative. Now we're talking about, do we call the guy a superstar? The original point is this guy worth the max contract, which you yourself a few minutes ago kind of agreed that he was?
No, I did say that, because Chris Bosh got the max contract.
I didn't agree with that. I was against that. I'm the one that stands against
him. No, Mike, you're against that, but Justin at one point, I thought, now Justin will correct me if I'm wrong,
said
he's probably a max guy, but he's not a superstar. So now we're getting all bent out about calling the guy a superstar. Don't call him a superstar then. What I'm saying is this is a player that probably, and I know every team couldn't work it in, any team would love to have at his age, at his production. And all I'm saying is that the only knock that you guys have on him is that, you know, and I'm not saying it's the only knock, because, Mike, you brought up the injuries, he hasn't taken that Minnesota team that's loaded with talent here. You got Ricky Rubio.
I'll take it a step further. Forget the playoffs. He doesn't win games. He doesn't win games. In the fourth quarter, he doesn't win you the game. And that's a fact.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Hang on, because you guys got the kitchen hot. We do have a caller in queue. The villain. Welcome to the kitchen. I think you might be a good guy right now because it is going down at the cookout. How you feeling this evening?
Villain. I was trying to get a hit of this a little bit. Trying to get a little hit. I don't want to pass it around, man. Ooh.
Okay. So listen. Let me ask you this question, Barry.
Yes, sir.
I didn't even think this would be a situation. I actually had this as a topic. Mike threw the best piece of steak on the grill and got the kitchen in an uproar. Now, agree or disagree that Kevin Love is a superstar or not, and is he worth a max contract or not?
Okay. Is he a superstar? Depends on your definition. But, yes, you can't – numbers don't lie, okay? I'm a math guy. I'm an analyst by heart. Numbers don't lie. He's a double-double guy, 20 and 10. There's not a lot of guys to get – I don't care if you did it on the Lakers, the Heat,
or the Bucks, you still did it. I mean, there's guys like that had garbage games, I mean, or garbage teams, and averaged great numbers. That doesn't diminish the fact that they were a great player. So this guy is a good player. Is he a max contract guy? Yes, he is. I mean, you look at the current max contract guys like Amari Stoudemire. I mean, come on. Joe Johnson is a max contract guy right now. I mean, Paul Gasol is a max contract guy. There's the whole league as a whole is overpaid. So talking about who's a max
Cleveland
contract
did it
guy,
again. Guys, Cleveland got a top three pick again from number nine.
Well, you know, that it's just everybody's overpaid in this league. I mean, from the ball boy to the coach to my GM, Phil Jackson, everybody's overpaid. So he could be a max contract guy all he wants. It doesn't matter. We can't do anything about it.
No, but listen, with the guys that you mentioned as max contract guys, the most of the guys you mentioned, they got them. I mean, now they're not max contract guys, but when they got the contracts, they deserve the max contract.
But
not
they are
that.
Max contract guys.
No,
right?
They're
yes,
max contract guys now. They're not.
Right.
They're not worth it. But when they got the contracts, they were worth it. That's a totally different, different story.
No, but they're max contract guys. Everybody in this league is overpaid. There's no question about it. I mean, this league makes a lot of money, but I mean, there's just a lot of guys getting to the playoffs and getting out of there. That's all irrelevant. It doesn't matter. This league is built on stars. Everybody in this league should have at least one player that's a star. That's how the league is built. So, I mean, Kevin Love is the guy that's going to cash in. He's going to be one of the hottest free agents. He's going to get adored by everybody. He's going to get a contract that everybody's going to want, and there's nothing we can do about it. I mean, it is what it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but the highest bidder is probably not going to be the best team.
No, absolutely not. The highest bidder is the Timberwolves, and they're not going to keep him. So, I mean, the Timberwolves own his bird rights. They're the ones that can offer him the best contract. He's not going to take it, but he's still a max guy. His numbers don't lie. He's an injury-prone superstar right now. But you know what? You're going to pay through the nose to get him. I hope the Knicks don't get him because he obviously won't be able to play with Carmelo Anthony. But that's irrelevant. The Knicks are still going to go after him hard. They're going to offer him a max contract or at least the most that they can offer him without bird rights. And we're all going to sit here and say he's a max contract guy next year. You know what I mean? There's nothing. Getting to the playoffs, playing with a great point guard, playing with a not a great point guard, getting to the playoffs twice, losing the first, who cares? It's a star league. These stars get paid. That's
you
it.
You can forget about the Knicks getting him. If Melo's on that team, they can't offer him a max contract.
If Melo's on the team, there's not enough basketball for him. but
they don't have enough money. They don't have enough money for him.
Yes, they will. In 2015, they will. And they can get him right now in a trade. They can trade Chandler and Shumpert and get Love on the team this year. But that won't happen. The Timberwolves aren't that stupid. They're not going to do that.
Because they're going to get better offers than that.
Absolutely. And if the Timberwolves took that kind of offer, then I would laugh them to the bank. There's no way they would do it. The Knicks are going to try because he's Kevin Love. His numbers don't lie. And he would excite the fan base. He would excite anybody's fan base, you know?
I think Golden State would be the best fit for him.
Really? Wow.
I do.
You said that at the end of the show.
At the end of the show the other day when you said that it wouldn't be a difference, I disagree with that. David Lee, now we're talking about David Lee and him, that's a different ball game. David Lee's a good player, but he's not Kevin Love.
And David Lee got paid too.
Exactly.
And all he could do was rebound. He wasn't that great of a scorer. He got paid off too. So I mean this is the nature of the league. This is what we're living
in. But he was averaging 19 when he got that contract.
It's all about what you were doing when you got that contract.
Wait, Justin, let me ask you, top 5, top 10, or top 15 power forward in the game right now?
Who?
Who?
Kevin Love.
Kevin Love? Oh, I say top five. I won't disagree if you put him at 6 or 7, depending on the names, but I say top 5.
Okay, that's fair enough. And
but there's a lot of players in the
league
that I would take. Huh?
No, I'm just saying power forward. I'm just talking about my position. And who would be your five power forwards? You probably have Blake, Duncan.
Aldridge. Aldridge. I wouldn't even put not Duncan at this stage in his career.
Duncan's the center. Duncan's the center. Well, what is the power forward in this league?
I'll give Duncan either or. If you want to put him in there, that's fine. But at this stage in his career, I'm not taking him over him.
Okay, so what do you have now? So you have Blake, you have LaMarcus,
Aldridge. Yeah.
Yes.
I still go with Bosch.
Oh God.
Bosch is a four.
Yeah, I mean, on the Heat, they got him at the five, but he's not a five.
LeBron's the four.
That's because of their lineup. That's because they don't have a true center. That's the only reason.
There's
but he played
no
four all his whole career.
There is no four in this league. That's
but I'm
point.
Saying
Bosh
played
no
the four when he was in Toronto. He played the four. Majority.
Bosh is a two guard. Okay.
Okay. Well, fine. But if you're gonna do that, if we're gonna do all that, then we could throw all this top five power forward out. Because I can name you three. I mean, you could, that's because I'm putting LeBron as a four.
Cleveland
won. Over there.
Guys, Cleveland won the lottery again.
I don't even want to talk about the lottery because my boys got the seventh pick. That's even worse than what they were supposed to get.
That's ridiculous. Now who does Cleveland get? Jabari Parker?
They're going to get Wiggins. They're going to get Wiggins. They're going to get Wiggins. That's the perfect fit for them. They're going to get Wiggins. That's the perfect fit. They're going to try to get a new LeBron in their eyes. He's not LeBron, but in their eyes.
Wiggins and Kyrie Irving? Ow.
Yeah, ow. That's definitely where the route they're going, without a doubt. And he's ecstatic, too.
He should be.
Because he loses LeBron, and he get a chance to get the next hype player in the league since LeBron.
Only thing I'm happy about is the Knicks pick got pushed to 11, so I'm happy about that.
The whose pick?
The Knicks pick. The
Knicks. Oh goodness, here we go again about these guys, man.
Don't be a hater.
I see what you're saying.
Straighten up, Nas.
I see what you're saying. That would have been your pick. You would have been mad if it was a top pick.
Yeah, if it was a top five pick, the villain would not be happy right now.
Okay,
I don't even know what to get with
the seventh pick. Yeah, and that's great for the Lakers. Good, that's good. I don't want any more help for these guys while they soak up that $48 million contract they just threw to Kobe. You talk about throwing a whole bunch of money away. Interesting.
He deserved that money.
Listen. His name earned that money. I don't know about Kobe right now with a torn Achilles and a fractured leg. I don't know.
He deserved that money.
His name, yeah, they can put it in like all they want, L.A. You're not getting the same Kobe from 2006 to 1996. You're not getting that Kobe. You're getting 36-year-old Kobe Bryant with
I tell
bad
you what,
wheels.
I tell you what, OKC needs the 2006 Kobe to win this series. How about that?
Okay, here you go again. Look, one game goes by and everything is a wash. Now, you know what? You came in here and threw a lot of soup around the kitchen all you want, man. It's one game at the end of the day. Kevin Love is a superstar. You don't want to agree with it, but, hey, the numbers don't lie. It's you and Mike out there, man. By yourself. It's four against
you,
two.
You
tell me
you need Kevin Love, too. You need Kevin Love,
listen,
too.
Listen. Wait, hold on. I know you're trying to make this personal. Four against two, you tell me what number is one.
What? You think that matters to me? How many times?
Wait,
how many times we ganged up on you? How many of us picked the Clippers? Exactly.
Right.
So what that matters?
This is a totally different situation here.
We ganged up on you, and you got the last laugh. So what that matter?
You are too much. I'm just turning the tables around. You can't do that.
You the one just said it. I'm just saying what you said.
Oh, goodness. Hey, okay, dude. Like I said, four guys said the guy's a superstar. You and Mike, and Mike is mad. Listen. Mike is mad because the Celtics are in the pool after him. If it wasn't the Celtics, he wouldn't even have said nothing. Honestly.
I mean, I don't know why he's mad. The Celtics need something.
Right. They don't have anything in Boston. Like, how could you be mad? Those are Celtics fans. This is the Eastern Conference. I don't even have to worry about them dudes. I got other fish to fry. We are at the end of the show. And believe me, it went down today. I need plugs and closeouts from all of you before we get out of this doggone kitchen. Mike, thanks for stopping by and soaking the show up with this Kevin Love rant. And it bothers me that you're a Pennsylvania guy. You're not even a Sixer fan, and you like the Celtics? This is weird. But give me a plug and shout-out before we get out of the kitchen.
Here's my parting shot, guys. The Celtics just officially got the number 6 pick in the draft. They need to take Aaron Gordon, and at all costs, please do not trade for Kevin Love. Please do not put this guy, please do not set your team back 5 years and pay this guy max money. A guy that's only going to lead you to the second round of the playoffs. That's my parting shot, guys. I'm anti-Kevin Love. Do not trade for Kevin Love, please.
But Gordon's going to get you. Gordon's going to get you to the problems land, though, huh?
Well, he's a building block. He's something. Other than he's a rookie contract, Celtics got many picks in the future from Brooklyn. They got a young nucleus. But if you bring Kevin Love in, then you got to pay Rondo max money. Just sit back and wait as a Celtics fan. You might have to take it on the chin for another year or two. You just don't want to rush into this free agency and take someone who's not worth the contract. Thank you.
Well, you're not keeping Rondo if you don't get Kevin Love.
Well, that's a whole other show, guys, and I don't even want to go into that right now.
Okay. Billy, give me a plug and close out before we get out of here. And believe me, Rondo will be stuck in Boston if Kevin Love gets there.
Yeah. Villain, all day, Sports City Chefs. Check out the blog, the website, shows all week. Get us up on Facebook. Retweet me all day on Facebook. Thank you for having me. Later.
God damn, man.
Bo, I didn't mean for it to go down like this, Bo, but it got hot at the grill today. Give me a plug, close out, shout out, whatever you got on your mind before we leave the cookout tonight.
Oh, well, no, had a lot of fun. Good discussion here. I would say that if my information is correct, for the fourth consecutive year, the Detroit Pistons have been jumped in the lottery. And this time it's even worse because it means that they have to ship their pick to Charlotte because it didn't finish in the top 8. It was 9. And it looks like Cleveland's got the first pick for the second straight year and the fourth time in the last 11. I don't know. That's just incredible that they can't build something with that kind of luck. But anyway, we'll see what happens. I'm gonna have to flesh out this whole thing. I'm just looking forward to being back, Todd, with you and Chandler, and then hopefully Justin and all the gang, anybody, can call in this Saturday. We're going to get going at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern time on the Speaking on Sports Network. We're going to talk about everything. So hopefully by that time, the Rangers will have solidified their spot in the Stanley Cup Finals, and we can start making projections for the final round, how they're going to do against Chicago. Well, L.A. Anyway, that's all I got.
Slow down. No jinxing, my boys. Slow down. One game at a time. Chandler, thank you for coming to the cookout. Give me a closeout before we get out of the kitchen, big bro.
A lot of fun. Let me see. I'm going to try this plug thing. Tomorrow at 8 o'clock, the baseball. Help me out, Ty. Baseball.
The buffet.
Thank you. You see me struggling here. Outside of that, Celtics suck, Lakers suck, go Knicks.
We all suck together.
That's y'all food for thought. Y'all can do those dishes, man. This has been one hectic show. I loved it, though, man, and everybody brought it tonight. Unfortunately, Kevin Love, we carried at least 35 minutes of you, and I had to defend you, and I don't like when we bang up against you, but I respect what you do on the floor, man. We might have to bring this up in the Crossover Cafe Thursday, but the baseball buffet is tomorrow here in the kitchen. I think Bo has the show kicking off Detroit Lions Talk tomorrow. I think I might have to enter there and get mad about this Ebron pick. Who knows what's going on with this sports talk, but it's getting pretty hectic, man. A lot of food for thought. Y'all can do these dishes. SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. I'll be back here Thursday, crossover caffeine it up with the villain, the rest of the crew that come in here and know how we do. Western Conference Finals, Eastern Conference Finals, the Heat are in trouble if they don't get this game tonight. On that note, tell a friend, this is the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
What about and even let me plug. In this life, let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up. Wait until the sun goes down, we gon' make this bitch light up. Even when the sun goes down, I'ma make it go.
Ow, hoes turning heads like owls. I'm the man of the owl. Triple entendre, don't even ask me how. Con Edison flaunt connected to a high power. Y'all can miss me with the money talk. The smart money's on hold, fuck what the dummies talk. I don't do too much blogging. I just run the town, I don't do too much jogging. The summer's off, the winter too. Top down in the winter, that's what winners do. And to these niggas, I'm like Windows 7. You let them tell it, they swear, cause they invented you. And since no good deed go unpunished, I'm not as cool with niggas as I once was. I once was, cool as the funds were. But these bright lights turn you to a monster. Sorry mama, I promise you wouldn't kill me, but I would've went insane had I remained the same me. Fuck me, this is true. All I got is this money, this to do.
Who would've thought I'd be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up.
They got me staring at the world through my rear view. Go ahead, baby, scream to God. He can help you with your problems. Thug Brothers, why would we come through? They can relate to Chef Music, help them with their problems. Turn us up. What's your problem? Sports City, that's all I got. I'm gone.